have been having some issues and I have some infections. So you heard me, you heard my cracking sound, and sometimes maybe weird, and maybe I'm going to pause from time to time. So we have a sermon series on Wesleyan Three Simple Rules, and we are concluding this series. And today we are going to talk about what it means to stay in love with God. The first one was do no harm, second one was do good, and the last one is stay in love with God. So I have been thinking about what it means to stay in love. Oh, I have water. Thank you. Stay in love with God. I love Him so much. And I can't help but think about my relationship with my wife. And I thought about what it means to stay in love with her. So we have so many in common. We love traveling. We love watching movies. And we love to eat. We are good Methodists. And one of the things we did when we were dating, whenever we had our meal, we gave our first bite to the other. So I gave my first bite to my wife, and she gave me first bite. And my favorite was pork stew with a lot of garlic, pepper, and black peppers. I love it. And I could have it three times a day, every day. And my wife's favorite was a kind of seafood stew with squid. Can you see that? Have you tried that? That tastes yuck. She had that so many times, her favorite, that was that. So I gave my wife my stew and she gave hers. So we did that for 5 years. That sounds sweet, but I learned a lot of patience and endurance during the time. So after 5 years of dating, I proposed to her. Thank God, she said yes. And the next day, we went to a restaurant. As usual, I ordered a pork stew, and she ordered a seafood stew. And I was about to give her the first bite. And she said, Paul, I don't like pork stew. That is so spicy, I can't take it. So I talked to her, why didn't you tell me about that? I mean, for 5 years. And she said, yeah, because you like it so much. So I talked to her, okay, Rosa, honey, I don't like your seafood. Then why didn't you tell me? Yeah, because you like it so much. So I just want to get to know you more, and I just want to look nice. For 5 years. And that was the good news. From that day, I would have to taste that weird stew. For 5 years. And I realized at the moment I fell in love with my wife more. I endured, and she endured, kind of tried to do nice. I like that because I believe love is not just emotion. Love is something to do. Love is action. Staying in love, it is a commitment to do sometimes something we don't have to do. Committing to do something we don't necessarily understand. Sometimes committing to do something we don't get it because we love somebody. So love requires perseverance. And love requires patience. But most importantly, love requires action. And a friend of mine once told me, love is a decision. It is not just emotion. It is something we do more than something we feel. John chapter 21, Peter didn't catch any fish yet. After Jesus died, the disciples, they went back to their place, their hometown, their workplace, something they used to do before they met Jesus. They were literally, Peter, he was literally sitting in a boat, fishing for a living. It was their workplace. I don't know what they might have thought of it. But anyway, they are fishermen. They know what to do. Even though they didn't do that for 3 years while following Jesus Christ, it was their work. He was an expert. But he couldn't catch any all day long. So I can't even imagine how frustrated he was. Not simply he didn't catch any, but because of the fact his friend, Master, and Savior, Jesus Christ, he died, and he was not with them anymore. I don't know what they were hoping, whether he expected Jesus to come again, or he thought everything was over. There was nothing clear. Hope seemed to be gone. And at the moment, what does Jesus do? Jesus comes back. Jesus comes back to his disciples on the shore, and he asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter should have been shocked because first, he's alive. He thought he died, but he's alive. And the second one was, with all the complicated emotions, he didn't get it. Why? Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" He should be filled with huge joy, extravagant joy and hope because Jesus comes back. But at the same time, Peter is standing right there remembering all he has done, the betrayal and the silence and all the denials he made. And we know he denied Jesus 3 times. And Peter is now hurt by Jesus' question, "Do you love me?" Nevertheless, he takes all the courages he has and replies, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you, Jesus." Then Jesus says, "Feed my lamb." And Jesus asks Peter again, "Peter, do you love me?" Second time. And this time, it hurts Peter more. "Lord, you know me. You know I love you." And Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus asks him a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" Now, Peter has no idea. He's just stuck. He's hurt to the core. He said, "Jesus, you know everything. You know my thought. You know that I love you." Then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep and follow me." It seems to me, Jesus speaks to Peter. He's not just asking if Peter is really loving him. No. Jesus speaks to Peter, "Love is something to do. Feed my lamb, feed my sheep, and follow me." It is the way Jesus taught Peter to fall in love with God. Jesus is giving Peter the tools we all need to become more like Jesus, to become a person with God. And that's why, that is what we are talking about, what we have been talking about for the past 2 weeks. And John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, he had a group of people. They were inspired by the word of God and falling in love with God. But they didn't know what to do. So John's brother Charles and other three friends, they came to John. Okay, teach us. Teach us how to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And they made a group that is called Holy Club. They really loved it. Loved the Bible and pray and meditate and so many others. Then John Wesley, he gave them three simple rules. The things we have come to know as the general rules. And these are the rules to live our lives as Christians. And these are the rules to live by. For what? The last one. To stay in love with God. To live close to God. Then how can we stay in love with God? John Wesley found the answer with holiness. We need to be holy. Holiness. He emphasizes two kinds of holiness. Personal holiness and social holiness. These two should go together. Personal holiness, it is our individual holiness in our relationship with God. He always emphasized means of grace, the way we may feel God and get inspired by the Holy Spirit, which means we can experience God's grace every day. We can get inspired, such as prayers, meditations, reading the Bible, fasting, and communion. That's why we do the communion every Sunday and emphasize reading the Bible and prayers. That is for personal holiness. And there is something more. That is social holiness. It is about the relationship with our neighbors and our community and the world, fellow children of God. So you remember first of the three simple rules, that is do no harm. That is our effort to avoid evil, to be free from sin. It is nothing more than step back from sin, step back from the evil. John Wesley says, do no harm, avoiding evil. And he encourages people to come humbly before God in prayers and meditation, looking back at what they have done before and asking God what they are to be and what they are to do. The wisdom. The first step is step back from harming others, breaking God's will, and committing evil. In reverse, in the second one, it is step forward, do good. Doing good is nothing more than living a proactive life. It is with everything I can do, I'm going to do good before anybody, before somebody has to ask for my help. I'm going to do good before somebody knocks on my door. It is making the decision. Our lives are going to bring healing, love, peace, and restoration into myself and ourselves and our community. That is for our relationship with God and the people around us. That is our decision that everything is going to be as good as possible, which leads us to the third rule today. Stay in love with God. John Wesley says, to stay in love with God, we must attend upon the ordinance of God. To do that, we need to know God's will, and we need to keep God's will in our lives, and we know what that is. As Jesus summarized all the Bible, love God and love your neighbors as yourself. It is the love. Jesus talks about the love. We are to love God from the bottom of our heart. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's really tough, right? That's really tough. We experienced that for the past 2 years with mass and politics and so many others. Somebody who has a different opinion, it's really hard to love, manifest our love. And there is one thing we cannot truly love others if we don't love ourselves. We cannot truly love God in our past journey. So true love, we need to start from ourselves. And true love for ourselves help us to know who we are and who we are to be before God. Once we know we are the beloved child of God, we cannot do harm to ourselves. We cannot waste our time. We cannot waste our talent. We will value who we are as a child of God. And this love shines toward our neighbors. For this love, we need to focus on one thing, one very clear and important thing. We need to know what it means to love. We need to make it happen in our faith journey, with our eyes set on the heart of God. That means we need to focus on one thing alone, and I believe that is cross, to stay in love with God. We need to focus on the cross. We need to focus on the very heart of God, and that is the sign of the perfect love. That is about forgiveness. It is about mercy. It is about grace. It is about resurrection. And it is about hope. And it is about God's invitation for all of us to be loved and to love. When Jesus keeps asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter must have been frustrated and feel sorry. But when Peter replies to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my sheep, feed my lamb, and follow me." It seems to me Jesus is speaking to Peter. I know you. I know you. I'm not asking you because I don't know that. I know you. I know your heart. I know your passion. I know your hope. Yes, you have denied me 3 times, and you were silent when I was crucified. But Peter, don't be harsh on yourself anymore because of the things you have done before. I love you. You are forgiven, and I trust in you. Peter, do your work. I love this conversation because whenever I feel and whenever I fail, whenever I feel frustrated, and when I feel I'm lost, not knowing what to do at the moment, it is Jesus. I know you. I know you. I know what you feel. Stop grounding there. I love you. I trust in you. Follow me. And love your neighbors. Love your friends. Love your family. Love your church, and love the world, sometimes even when they don't deserve or recognize your effort. And that is what I want you to do. I hope to listen to God's voice in your faith journey. God is asking all of us to know who we are and whose we are. Who we are to be loved and to love. As God loves you and our neighbors, love is decision, love is action. When Peter says he loved Jesus, what Jesus commanded was, was do your work and do my work. Feed my lamb, take care of my sheep, and love your neighbors. Stay in love with God. It requires us to build a right relationship with God with all the ways we can do, with the Bible, prayers, fasting, the communion, and it requires us to manifest God's love in our action, in our word, in our lives. Amen. My microphone it keeps moving, so I need to hold it tight.
So we have the communion. It is the precious element that reminds us of God's unconditional love through Jesus' sacrifice. Just like the scripture reading we had, Jesus speaks to us. I know you. I know what you have done. I know your feeling. I know all the circumstances you are going through. And with the sacrifice for us, he speaks to us. Join me. Do the work. Do love. Let's pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And bless each one of us in this sanctuary. And bless each precious element of the Holy Communion. Lord,